Welcome to the Garden Basics with Farmer Fred podcast. If you're just a beginning gardener or you want good gardening information, well, you've come to the right spot. So you think you're learning something new every time you listen to the Garden Basics podcast? Heck, I'm learning something new in each episode as well. So this time around, it's a compilation of garden knowledge that will definitely make you a better gardener and a better food shopper as well. I guess we'll call this episode, I Did Not Know That. College horticulture professor Debbie Flower talks about the benefits of cutting the roots of plants before you stick them in the ground, and more importantly, how you cut those roots. And we talk with hot chili pepper expert Dave DeWitt. He blows away the myth of the hatch chili and how those oversized jalapeno peppers that you might see at the supermarket just might not pack very much heat, which actually for many of us might be a good thing. It's planting tips, it's pepper advice, it's all on this episode of Garden Basics with Farmer Fred. It's episode 27, and we're going to do it all in under 30 minutes. Let's go. Recently, when we were talking about how to plant a fruit tree, our favorite college horticultural professor, retired Debbie Flower, talked about that one of the things you should do when you're transplanting that young fruit tree into its permanent home is to cut the roots of that tree. In fact, you would want to cut the roots when transplanting any new woody plant. Now, that may sound like heresy. Why would you cut roots? Roots are what feed the plants, Debbie Flower.
Yes, that's very true. Roots are the place that the plant absorbs most of their water and some nutrients as well. So it does seem like a bad practice to go around cutting roots. But plants that are grown in containers, and most of the plants we purchase from the nursery are grown in containers, are not. It's not legal to sell them until the roots of that plant have grown to touch the inside of the pot. Well, then they get put on the nursery floor and maybe they sit there maybe for a week, maybe for a month, maybe longer. And those roots hopefully continue to grow. And if they've touched the edge of the pot, they're going to start circling around and around inside that pot. And if you take that plant out of the ground and plant it in the ground, those roots will not change direction. You might get new roots growing, branch roots growing off of those that spread out underneath the soil. But those that are in a circle will remain in the circle. And in woody plants, the roots become woody. And so that circling set of roots become a concentrated area of wood underground. As the plant, it takes a long time, but as the plant ages and the top gets bigger and bigger, and the branch roots potentially grow out and collect more nutrients in places further away from the plant, that woody section gets, each root gets fatter and fatter and fatter. And all of a sudden, the plant is sitting under the, on top of this narrow, cork-shaped bunch of roots, woody roots, and it becomes unstable. In fact, those roots, as the trunk of the tree gets fatter, those roots can actually strangle the trunk of the tree. And over the tree goes. And there, it is a big reason for loss of woody plants in the landscape and for decline. Once those roots start getting fatter and fatter, they not only choke the trunk of the tree, they choke each other, and the plant declines and you lose it. So to prevent that from happening, so going all the way back to bringing home that new woody plant from the nursery that's in the pot with the roots that have touched the inside of the pot and started circling around, we want to stop that circle. We want to get rid of that circling root so that when those roots get fatter and woody, that they don't choke each other, they don't choke the trunk of the plant, and they don't cause instability in a large tree or shrub. And to do that, we cut the roots. Now, hopefully, the only place you have circling roots is right inside, right on the outside edge of that root ball, which is right inside the pot. And so you don't need to cut in very deeply, quarter of an inch at the most. Use a sharp tool. I like to cut down once down the four sides of the pot and an X across the bottom. Often you'll have a whole mat of roots on the bottom of the pot. And that just stops that circling. Yes, it does damage to the roots, but transplanting from a container into the landscape does damage to the roots anyway. And so it takes two, the roots absorb most of their water, and with that, any dissolved nutrients in what's called the root hairs. And they are very young parts of the root. They're on the tips of the root, and they each root hair lasts only 2 to 3 days. And so you need to give that plant shade for 2 to 3 days. You always water after planting, and then you give it shade for 2 to 3 days. I've been known to make little hats out of newspaper and put them on the plant for 2 to 3 days. Then it's got a new set of roots from everywhere you cut. If you cut with a nice sharp tool, you'll get new root tips. Those will get new root hairs in 2 to 3 days, and the plant will just take off. You'll get a much more vigorous plant if you cut the roots, and a safer one down the line.
So when you're saying cutting the roots, do you actually mean you're scoring the root ball?
Yes.
And when you're scoring the root ball, how deep do you go into that mass? Let's say you're pulling a plant out of a 1 gallon container, so maybe it's 7 inches or 8 inches wide or so. How deep will you plunge your knife and drag it down, ripping those roots?
Oh, you make it sound so tortuous. Not very. 1/4 inch at the most.
Okay.
If it's a well-grown plant in the container, the only place you're going to have those circling roots is going to be right at the outside edge of that root ball. And they're going to be as thin as your hair. And you just want to cut them. You don't want to go into the center section of the roots. You just want to cut them.
Do you have to use a weapon? Couldn't you just use your fingers and just sort of scrape them loose?
I prefer a weapon because I prefer a clean cut. A clean cut will, plants close any wounds that are made to them with chemicals first. And a clean cut is closed more efficiently than a ragged cut. Using fingers works, but it produces a ragged cut. And if there's any chance of a root disease entering, then that is a place where it's more likely to enter. I use pruning shears or scissors or knives.
So when my wife's not home, which of the kitchen knives should I use for this?
Yeah, it should be a knife dedicated to the garden.
All right. That means keeping it clean and keeping it rust free then.
Well, all tools should be kept clean and rust free.
We ought to do an episode one of these days on tool preservation. There's no question about that. But yeah, if you've got your pruners handy, I guess you could just use the blade end of that to do this.
Yes. And I've done that many times. I almost always have a pruning shear in my pocket. So yes, I've used that many, many times for this purpose.
Now, we know a person up in Washington State, Linda Chalker Scott, who is a Washington State University horticultural professor as well. Mm-hmm. And she likes to wash off all the dirt when she pops that new plant out of the can before she transplants it, and basically takes a hose to it on jet setting on the nozzle and washes off all the dirt out of that transplant. Is that a good idea?
Well, it's definitely an idea that has its purpose. You will see the whole root system, and you will see if there are any other problems with that root system. I have a plant I had great hopes for. I'm always trying plants from different parts of the country that have similar climates to mine, seeing if they'll work in my yard. And I have one that I bought at a local university plant sale. And I realized this year I've had it in the ground about 2 years that it's not going to survive. And I bought it in a 4-inch pot. So that means that the pot is 4 inches across the top. That's where we measure pots. And at the 2-inch size, this year I noticed the roots are circling at the 2-inch size. So that means that when it was it was probably grown, I don't know if it was grown from seed or cutting, if it was grown in a flat or potentially in a 6-pack, which would be a 2-inch size pot, or in its own individual 2-inch size pot. It was allowed to grow until the roots touched the inside of that 2-inch size pot and started to circle. Then it was moved up to a 4-inch pot in the nursery production. When that happened, no one cut the roots. And so when I planted it from 4-inch, I cut the roots because it is a woody plant. But I wasn't aware of the problem at the 2-inch center of the plant. And now I'm going to lose the plant. So washing all of the media that's in the container off of the root system will expose those kinds of problems, which can then be corrected or potentially be corrected. Some may be too close to the trunk. You may lose too much of the root system in doing that process. But in following her, I don't know if it's a blog or it's a Facebook page, I guess. Many people have reported successfully doing that procedure and their plants surviving very well once put in the ground. Again, they're going to, the roots are going to be damaged and the plant will need 2 to 3 days minimum of shade to recover its root hairs and start to absorb water and the dissolved nutrients in that water and recover from the process.
Heavens knows it isn't just woody plants that end up with that girdling root problem, but you've mentioned to do this cutting on new woody plants. Now, what about annuals? I mean, I've purchased vegetables, tomatoes and peppers, where when you pop it out of the container, it's definitely a mass of roots that are going round and round.
Yes, it definitely is. And I've seen that as well. And because I'm so indoctrinated into cutting roots, I cut them. In that case, when they're very small, let's say they're in a six pack or a 2-inch pot, they're very small. I just cut the bottom, maybe inch. I just cut it in half. It's called butterflying when you cut a root ball in half from the bottom to the top, and then you spread it out like the wings of a butterfly. And that is done sometimes. It's an extreme way to handle the roots, but it is done sometimes to free the root system from that circling problem. But annuals and many perennials, herbaceous plants, annuals in particular, it's a less of a problem. The circling roots is less of a problem with annuals because they're only in the ground for one season. And so they don't get woody roots. They're herbaceous plants, so they don't have the ability to form roots. So they don't form woody roots. The roots will get fatter and fatter, but they are softer. They move more under the ground, and we are only growing them for one season. Perennials, herbaceous perennials. Perennials means it has a life cycle that lasts 3 or more years. So it starts from seed and grows, produces seed, and dies. That process takes more than at least 3 or more years to occur. That's the life cycle of a plant, or lifespan of a plant. And so the lifespan of herbaceous perennials is 3 or more years, but they are herbaceous, so they do not form wood. Herbaceous means they stay soft and green, and the roots stay white and pliable. And so they're more forgiving, the root system is more forgiving and less likely to have a circling problem. They may still circle, but they can maneuver around each other better. I cut the roots of everything. It's just a habit I have developed. I have probably lost a few plants here and there when I have cut more than I should. So that's probably the thing to watch, is that you don't cut off more roots than need be.
All right. So we've freed the roots. We're going to stick it in the hole. But wait a minute. Go to any garden Facebook page or ask any gardener, and they'll probably have a secret recipe of something to put in that hole along with that plant to help the roots grow. One of the odder ones that was ever mentioned to me, I was participating in a community planting at the local post office and installing some woody plants. And a landscaper came up to me and says, "You want to know something? Take some chalkboard chalk and grind it up and put it at the bottom of the hole. I do that with every tree I plant." And I had no idea, and I still have no idea what the benefit of chalk is. And I did not do it, but
I don't even know what chalkboard chalk is made from, to be honest. Is don't do it.
Yes, don't do it. Yes. No, I'm pretty sure chalkboard chalk is made up of the bitter tears of elementary school children.
And their teachers.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So, but there are things you can buy, and there are some things that you shouldn't buy as far as additions. I know we will disagree on this one, but I will still add kelp meal or seaweed in with my fish emulsion mix as sort of a booster because of the auxins in there to help develop roots.
Okay. Well, auxins can't act unless they get inside the plant. And I'm not aware that they can dissolve in water and be absorbed into the root system with the water that roots absorb. But is this a granular formulation that you're using?
It, It's a water-soluble formulation.
Water-soluble formulation, yes. Many people want to mix things into the backfill of the soil. The backfill is what you have basically taken out of the ground when you're going to plant this plant, and you put it in a bucket or a wheelbarrow or on a tarp or on the soil next door, someplace over there, and they want to mix something in with it and throw it back in the hole. And the blanket recommendation is don't do it. There are exceptions. Exceptions are soils that are very, very poor. I've worked in revegetating mines, coal mines in particular. I've worked in revegetating landfills, garbage dumps, where your garbage goes, and then you put stuff, they put soil on top and make them into parks and have to plant things up there. Sometimes, especially the mines, those soils are particularly horrible. I lived in Nevada where some soils were very, very horrible, and people would hire a backhoe to come in, dig out a bunch of soil. They'd modify that soil, and then this is a huge quantity of soil, and put it back in the ground. And the only experiment I'm aware of that was done on this process was done by somebody I worked with at UC Davis, John Lichter, and he did it with pear trees, ornamental pear trees, and he planted them, and I can't give you specifics. I don't remember how big they were when they were planted. All in the same field, and certain, you know, randomly some got something mixed into the backfill and some did not. And it was true that for the first few years, the ones with something mixed in the backfill grew faster, grew better. But then they hit a mark, a several year mark, where those trees just stopped growing and the others continued to grow and outgrew the ones with the extra material in the backfill. And the explanation is that you can't, and especially with woody plants. So the bigger the plant, the more important it is that you do not put something into the backfill. You can't amend means mixing in. You can't amend all the soil where the roots are going to grow. Roots of a woody plant grow 2.5 to 3 times away from the trunk as the plant is tall. And that's on all sides. So if we have a 3-foot tall shrub, the roots all the way around are going to grow 6 to 9 feet away from the trunk. So you're going to have a circle that's 12 to 18 feet across. If you can dig up all of that and put your amendment in all of that soil, then fine, do it. But that's a whole lot of soil. So generally, we're digging a hole that's only 2 to 3 times as wide as the root ball we're putting in there. And so if we amend that soil, the roots may grow very vigorously and happily into that amended soil, and then they reach the field soil. And they stop. Roots are lazy. Roots take the path of least resistance. I have a whole collection of articles about roots growing in drainage ditches and roots growing in sewer pipes, and because that was the easiest place to grow. So they grow where it's easiest. And if they hit the side of that hole and the soil is very different than the amended soil in the hole, they'll just start circling just like they do in a pot. The shrub or tree will become unstable and slow down its growth because now the roots are limited to that hole alone. So the general recommendation is no. Obviously, it's more important with bigger plants, with woody plants, with plants that are going to be in the landscape longer, that you don't amend the soil. With annuals, with herbaceous perennials, it's less of a problem. And if they're in a limited bed, a container, or a bed that's surrounded by concrete and asphalt or other hardscape that they want, where the roots will not grow, you can amend the entire thing, go for it. You'll make a better place for them to grow. But if it's just out in the landscape and the roots are going to be able to grow to your neighbor's yard and under your lawn and all kinds of places, then do not amend the soil. Put them back into the field soil that came out of that hole, and they may take a little time to get adjusted, but once they do, they'll be a much better plant.
I was just thinking that when you were raising your children, how often did you utter the phrase, the general recommendation is no?
You know, I don't think I ever said that to my kids, but I would always explain the reason. I'm a reason person.
Right. Oh, yes. So basically, no.
Basically, just, no. Right.
Yeah, just use the native soil. But I got to add something. This is my baby. I just planted my baby.
Right.
Can I feed it something?
Put it on the surface.
Okay.
Plant your baby and then pour the dilute, would have to be dilute fertilizer. Again, it's not a great idea because you're pouring it onto damaged roots, but if it's very gentle, it's probably fine and it'll be mitigated by the presence of the soil. But put it on the surface, put the mulch on the surface, put the chicken manure on the surface, put the whatever, I don't know what chalk would do on the surface. I'm not recommending that, but put it on the surface and then it will work its way. Hopefully it's either moved by insects or it's water soluble. It will work its way into the root system, and that's the better choice. And you can spread that on a much larger area.
So not even granular fertilizer should you be throwing into the hole with the plant.
Correct. And definitely nothing in the bottom of the hole. No rocks, no chalk, nothing, no layer. It does not improve drainage. In fact, it does the opposite. It stops the water from going deeper into the soil. And so you end up saturating the root ball when you do water it. And that's, so you're drowning the plant.
I believe that's osmosis.
Yeah, it's, yes, it's the how water moves thing. Yeah, when it reaches a different texture. So your field soil is one texture, and then you hit a bunch of rocks in the bottom of the hole. That's a very different texture than your soil. Again, water takes the path of least resistance, too. It will stop going down and find an easier way to go, a place that has similar texture. And that's the media you just dug out of the hole and put back in the hole that has a certain amount of oxygen compared to solids in it. That's even different from what's outside of the hole where you did not dig. And so the result is the hole in the ground that you dug will just fill up with water. And for a while, that's okay. But after a while, it's not okay. The plant just drowns.
It's actually cheaper and easier the way you're recommending it.
It is. And I tend to believe, although I have no proof, that the adding things to the soil when you plant, to the backfill when you plant, was done so that people could charge you more when they did it for you.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You're saving us money, Debbie. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's Debbie Flower, our favorite retired horticultural professor. And we started off cutting roots and we ended up saving money. So there. Back on episode 25, you may recall we were talking with Dave DeWitt, who has written many books about peppers, chili peppers. It was a far-ranging conversation, which included how to grow hot peppers throughout the year. Spoiler alert, you bring them indoors for the winter. But part of the conversation that we didn't have time to air then had to do with a lot of the myths that surround peppers. For instance, if you live in a state where the supermarkets have Hatch chili festivals, you just might be participating in somebody's joke. Two of my favorite moderately warm chili peppers to grow are Inferno and the New Mex Joe E. Parker. And
right.
they just are so versatile in a wide variety of recipes that if you just want a little bit of heat, those are the ones I would recommend. I've been doing some pepper parties here annually for about 20 years or so. And the Inferno and the New Mex Joe E. Parker have always been the taste test winners year after year.
Yeah, I'm growing Joey Parkers right now. That was what was left in the nurseries when I went there, so I had to take what was left. But they're fine. The 6-4 Heritage is the most commonly grown one, and it's the one that is mostly called Hatch. Hatch is a marketing term for New Mexico chilies. It's not a variety of chili. It's very popular when the harvest comes, and the supermarkets in Texas have their Hatch chili festivals and so forth like that. And I was hired by Central Market to do some cooking demonstrations a few years ago in Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and Houston. And so I had to drive to each city. It was really interesting because they all sold out, which I thought was pretty good. But I'd start my talk on the Hatch Chili Festival by saying there's no such thing as a Hatch chili. And they're, of course, talking about a horticultural variety. There's no such thing as a Hatch chili. It's just, as I said, a marketing term for any of the New Mexico chilies, which confuses people a lot. You hear stories about the famed Hatch Valley in New Mexico. There's no such thing.
I love marketing.
Yeah, right. And people just make stuff up. They just invent stuff. And that's what's happened in this whole mythology about New Mexico chilies and Hatch chilies. The town of Hatch is not in the Hatch Valley because there's no such thing. So it's in the Rincon Valley. If you look at a map and you see Hatch, and if you look at a county map of New Mexico, you see the Hatch is in the Rincon Valley. It's not in the Hatch Valley because the Hatch Valley does not exist. I had to testify, and lawyers hired me to investigate all this stuff. When I was first writing about chili peppers, I bit for the myth too. And the opposing attorneys would catch me in it. Well, here in this book, you wrote that there is a Hatch Valley. Well, I was stupid. I didn't research it properly. And when I got actually paid a lot of money to work for attorneys and research it, I researched it properly and discovered there was no such thing. It was just an invention. You know, the whole thing about chili pepper nomenclature is so confusing that it's baffling to most people. For example, the habanero is in the species Capsicum chinense, which means from China. Well, they're not from China. They were Western Hemisphere, you know. Somebody made a mistake back, 100 years ago or 200 years ago, and nobody's corrected it, for all these years. It's just crazy.
That again was Dave DeWitt. He's the author of many books about chili peppers, including the complete chili pepper book, A Gardener's Guide to Choosing, Growing, Preserving, and Cooking. And coming out soon, Chili Peppers, A Global History. You can find a link to Dave DeWitt's books in the show notes for this episode. Thank you for listening to the Garden Basics with Farmer Fred podcast. I appreciate your ears. How about a subscription? You can get the podcast wherever podcasts are given away, such as Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, Stitcher, and many more.
And that is another process you can do. It's called, you can cut the whole root ball in half.
I'll get it. It's for me.
Yeah, hold on.
No.
Okay. Caller blocked. No.
We can wait.
Jerry.
It stopped. No.
He's not available. It'll go away.
I'm not worried. I think it went away.
Well, it's gonna. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Where was I?
You had just blown my mind by cutting a root ball in half.
Okay.